spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you, God, for your spirit with us today. We thank you, God, for how you change us. We thank you, Lord, for how you bring us back home to where we belong in you. We thank you for all things. And we give you praise today, O Lord, for Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who sacrificed his life for us. You be the preacher today, O God. You speak, God. We have written here what we know that you've given us, God, but we need for you, Lord, by the power of your spirit, Lord, to preach today, God, to move upon the hearts and minds of the hearers today, Lord, that in you, because of your word, because of your truth, because of your spirit residing in us, God, we may be changed forever changed, God, to bring you glory and honor. And God, and as you're doing the work in us here, we ask, Lord, for our sister Sharon, that you would do a work in her today, oh God, as she struggles, Lord, with her asthma. God, we ask that you would touch her body right now.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, and bring healing. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. Forgive us for our sins. Our sins are many, oh Lord. Forgive us for our sins. Wash us. Cleanse us, God. Make us whole. Holy thine and thine alone. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I ask that you be praying, that you pray for me as well. This fall, whatever happens in the fall tower, and I was talking about that this morning, and they asked me, well, how are you doing? But sometimes it bothers me too, and it is. Right now, I ended up having to use my inhaler so we can used by God today. Serve from the heart. Serve from the heart as we continue to look at a believer's potpourri, the list that God has given us in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Serve from the heart. Serve from the heart. Over the 65 years that God has blessed me to live, I've seen and experienced and learned a few things, praise God. Some things I understand and others baffle me. And I think what baffles me the most is how people in general, and especially those who are called by the name of Christ, smart and brilliant people, seemingly wise people, allow themselves to be enslaved by the things of the world. Empty things. Things that won't last. Temporary, temporal things. Things that will take us nowhere spiritually seem so important. They seem so important. As we pursue wealth, as we pursue prestige, notoriety, as we pursue power, power and position and elevated status and the best of the best, we can so easily become enslaved by our pursuits. And sometimes the enslavement comes simply from the fact that we want to be loved and cared for. We want to belong to something, to somebody. We want to feel good about ourselves. Consequently, we become trapped in. We become slaves to a lifestyle that we believe is the most important aspect of our existence. Or we become trapped in a lifestyle that we never, ever imagined could cause us so much trouble. And so what's so baffling about that? What's baffling about it is that we don't even realize that we're slaves. We don't realize that we're slaves to our very existence here on this earth. We don't realize that the hustle and the bustle and all the long hours, all the trying to make ends meet, trying to rise to the top, trying, groping, trying to accomplish our goals, that it puts us in a place where what is the best thing that we can do for ourselves, we put on the back burner. Our relationship with Christ. That's the best thing that we can do for ourselves. We put it on the back burner. Or maybe not on the burner at all, because we become slaves of the things that we chase after. We don't realize that looking for love in all the wrong places is the devil's sin trap. We don't realize that. We don't realize that even our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, we don't realize that even the work that we do at the church can enslave us, can put us in a place where Jesus, where God is not in the forefront. Reverend Jonathan, this is about doing. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in doing and not in being who God has called us to do. We don't think about the fact that if it tastes good, if it looks good, if it feels good, sounds good, or smells good, that doesn't mean that it's good for us. We get caught up in life's traps, and we become slaves to just the everyday mundaneness of living. It's so easy. That's the baffling part, is that it's so cotton-picking easy for us to leave Christ out of the equation, out of the everyday living of our lives. It's baffling even to me, as I know and confess to you today that I've done some of the same stuff, been there, done that. And we know better. We know better. We want to convince ourselves that we don't, but we know better. But I'm thankful to God Almighty. I'm thankful to Father God that He continues to court us.
Amen.
He continues to seek after us. He continues to draw and to pull us to Him. something I need to tell you, because I know that you know that when you live your life apart from Christ, you are slaves to sin.
Amen.
When you live your life apart from Christ, when you live your life where He is not your focus, you are a slave to sin. And God doesn't want us to be in that place. He does not desire for us to be slaves to sin. God desires that we serve Him, be enslaved to Him with our whole hearts. And that is what the Holy Spirit is encouraging us today, is to serve God. And it's interesting that in our Sunday school lesson, we were talking about how people take God's word, and Brother Christian, if I could pick on you this morning, at this moment, and how you can be in a group of people and you're talking about the same scripture, and everybody has an interpretation, if you will. And part of the problem is that, you know, we don't study. We don't study like we need to. And when we think about being in service to God, we think about doing. We think about ushering and coming to the church and singing on the choir. And we think about
cooking and preparing meals.
Preparing meals, right. And we think about our food pantry and you know, doing those kinds of things. But the word for service, the word for serving, the word for serve is doulos, the Greek word. And it denotes being a slave to the Lord God. It means worshiping Him and committing you, yourself, loving Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, putting God first, serving Him. Holy Spirit is saying to us this day that we are here to serve the Lord. It's about being who we are in Christ Jesus. So the believer's potpourri ultimately has to do with our faith walk with the Lord Jesus. It has to do with our servitude to Him. It is the life of a bond servant enslaved to God. And so, as a bond servant, a slave of the Lord God, we are to obey His commands. That's what slaves do, right? They obey what the master has to say. They do what the master commands them to do. As a bond servant, we are to, with spiritual wisdom, adapt our lives to the commandments of God. Instead of trying to adjust God's commandments so that we, those things that we like, we use, and what we don't, we ignore or throw out. Thank you for the Sunday school discussion, because as you were talking, I'm like, okay, Lord, here again, they're preaching the message. But it's confirmation what God wants us to do. A bond servant, a slave, a Christ follower submits himself or herself to the one whom they follow. They give themselves away to God. Jesus said a servant is not greater than his master. Therefore, we follow the leader. Mm-hmm. We follow the leader. Mm-hmm. And the leader is Christ. Sure. We do not expect the leader to follow the followers. And so we adapt. We adjust. We submit ourselves to him. When we become the bond servant of Christ, then we cease to be slaves to the world and slaves to the sin. Because you can't serve, Jesus said it, we can't serve two masters.
Right.
So when we become Christ's servant, we cease to be Satan's servant.
Mm-hmm.
When we become bond servants of Christ, we yield. My brothers and my sisters, we yield mm-hmm. our lives to him. We walk in obedience to him. He becomes our pursuit. He becomes the object of our love and affection. He is the one that we bow down to, that we worship. He is the one who does that for us. And as we worship God, as we bow down to him, as we offer ourselves to him, that he opens our blind eyes so that we can see. So that we can see. He unstops Amen. Our deaf ears so that we can hear mm-hmm. his truth and know him. He is the one who melts our hearts of stone. Mm-hmm. That this word that he declares that we keep high is hidden deep within our heart. He becomes everything that we need, our Savior and our Lord. Mm-hmm. And the fragrant smell of the presence of Christ Jesus permeates our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, since we are the servants of Christ, do not be lackadaisical with your faith walk. Do not be lackadaisical with your faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take it seriously because it is serious. It is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of heaven or hell. It is a matter of confusion or peace. And so we cannot be lackadaisical about it. We don't fully understand. People really, truly don't fully understand the bloody price that Christ paid for us to have the privilege and the honor and the blessing of salvation. Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. And the cute displays that we have about Christ don't even touch that. He wore the crown of thorns. Have you ever had a thorn stuck in your finger? He wore a crown of thorns that they pressed down on his head. A bloody price he paid. He was nailed to a sinner's tree, bleeding from his hands, bleeding from his head, bleeding from his back, bleeding from his front, bleeding from his feet. He did all of that for us.
Amen.
His blood was poured out for us. His skin was ripped apart from us.
Amen.
He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and I. A bloody, unrecognizable human body, yet God sacrificed his life for our freedom, that we might be free from sin, that we might be free from guilt and shame, free from the clutches of Satan. And we must not take take that for granted. We cannot, my brothers and my sisters, we must not, hallelujah, live like his sacrifice doesn't matter, because it does. It is because of his suffering, it is because of his affliction that we are healed, that we are delivered from our own personal enslavement to sin, delivered even from ourselves. Therefore, don't lack enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be walking around down and out because we are Christians. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be sad and gloomy as Christians. We're supposed to be people of joy, people of excitement, people who are happy. No, we don't deny that when trials and tribulations come, we don't like them. Mm-hmm. But we don't live in that place where we are like Eeyore and dragging our behinds wherever we go. We have to refuse. We have to refuse to handle this gift of salvation in a careless way. Because you see, your faith in Christ is a ruby. It's an emerald. It's a diamond. It's a jewel that is invaluable. It is the best walk that you will ever take. And we need to act like that. We need to live like it's the best thing since sliced bread. This faith that we have. A life of faith committed to Christ. Sold out to Jesus. It's the best decision that you will ever make. So we must treasure it. We must have a zeal and an excitement for Christ such that others will desire what you have. You want people to have what you got, right? When you go to the store, they don't put up ugly signs. Dull, bleak looking signs and invite you to come in. They don't do that. They put the best foot forward. Colorful advertisements you see. The mannequins in the window all dressed up and togged down because they want you to come in and to receive and to buy what it is that they have. Don't we want people to look at us and see the goodness of the Lord and a smile on our face, a glint in our eyes, and they would want to know this man called Jesus. And then the word of God tells us, my brothers and my sisters, to be fervent in spirit, which is basically the same thing. Be fervent in spirit as you serve the Lord from the heart. Zeo is the Greek word here used. Zeo means to boil. To boil with heat. To be hot. To be on fire. The life of a believer for Christ should be like that of a boiling pot of water, of liquid, just boiling over with excitement and enthusiasm and love with the Lord. On fire for Jesus, so hot that if anyone touches it, they catch fire too. That's what we are supposed to look like in this world. When we are not excited about our relationship with Jesus, nobody else will be excited about our relationship with Jesus either, or even want to know him. If you are always down in the dumps and dragging around, who in the world would want to serve your God? If your God can't lift you up, who will think that your God can lift them up? If your God does not deliver you or fill your life with joy and gladness, who would you be able to convince that God is real, that this word is true, that God can do what he says he will do? If God is real in your life, if he is real in your life, there should be some evidence of that realness and a fervent spirit A life that is alive and vibrant. A life on fire for Jesus is evidence of that. And it smells good too. So don't walk around. Don't walk around dragging. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what's happened. There's joy in the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so our next point is to be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. Rejoice in hope. Be glad. Be glad. Live well to the best of your ability as you confidently live your life.
Amen.
Live it out loud. Live your life out loud for others to see while you wait for your eternal salvation, which God promises to all who trust and obey. Live joyfully a life committed to Christ. For not only does he give the gift of eternal salvation, but he fights your battles for you right here on this earth as you journey toward heaven. His word says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now that's something to rejoice about. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
Because you are a servant of God. And he will take care of you. God's word says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That deserves a joyful shout unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If God is for you, my brothers and my sisters, who can be against you?
Amen.
And so, let us rejoice. And let us also rejoice in this. His divine power has given to us all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. He supplies your every need. And so rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice. We sing the song. Rejoice. We need to live it. Rejoice. Rejoiceful lives. Rejoiceful lives because of all that God has done. And while we are rejoicing in the Lord, my brothers and my sisters, through our living and serving, let us also be patient in tribulation. The stuff will happen. Stuff will happen. Storms will come. Bad decisions will be made. We might make them, or someone else will make them that affect us. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. Be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. Trust God, even if it seems that things are not working out. When dreams are delayed, trust God. When goals are not met, trust God. When you don't know where you're going to get your next meal from, trust God. When you lose your job, trust God. When doors are closed, trust God. It doesn't know when your children don't obey and act crazy. Trust God. When your spouse is unfaithful, trust God. When you can't agree on anything, trust God. And be patient. It's hard to be patient. Yet we must allow patience to have its perfect work in us. Patience helps to build character. And you may be saying, I don't want character right now. I just want to be upset. I want things to happen. I'm mad. But be patient. Let patience build character in you in the midst of storms. Mm-hmm. Patience produces in us unshakable, strong character that takes us through the next trial. My brothers and my sisters, it is of the utmost importance that we persevere, that we keep holding on to God. When I was writing this, I was thinking about some years ago, I heard this story about this young man who took his life. Things were going bad. They were not going the way he wanted them to go. He was trying so desperately to find the job. And for month after month, he walked the pavements. He knocked on doors. He filled out applications and everything. And he did not get a job. And he took his life. And after he took his life, he was contacted by someone who wanted to offer him a job. We gotta be patient. We gotta be patient in hard times. But when trouble comes, people sometimes begin to back away from the Lord. They get mad at God. And they say things like, I can't believe God. I've heard people say, I can't believe God let this happen to me. I thought I had God's favor. This Jesus thing, it ain't working for me. They forget that we live in the consequences of sin. They forget that the way that things are, the way that our world is today, sickness and sadness. They forget the dying and anxieties. They forget the frustrations, oppression, and depression. They forget the poverty and crime and lack. They forget the selfishness, that hunger, cosmic shifts. They forget the thunder and lightning and tornadoes and hurricanes. They forget the car accidents and bankruptcy, racism, sexual immorality, sexual identity, confusion and crises. They forget that abuse and drunkenness and addiction, you name it, the way our world is to this very day is because we live in the consequences of the sins of our foreparents. God didn't do it. Humanity did it. And humanity still does. But people get mad at God. So again, I say to you, don't give up. Don't give up on God in times of trouble. Run to Him. Let Him be your refuge. Let Him be your place of rest. Let Him be with you in time of affliction and trouble and anguish. Let God be a present help in times of distress, in times of trouble, in times of confusion, when your soul is burdened and you don't know what to do. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Amen. He will strengthen your heart. Yes. Bravely bear your trials. Calmly endure while God does a great work in you. And finally, my brothers and my sisters, let your potpourri be filled with the fragrance of continued steadfast prayer. Let it be filled with continued steadfast prayer. Because you see, obeying God and serving God involves prayer. I figured if Jesus, who is God himself, can pray to the Father, then I certainly should be able to pray. Because Christ said that men should always pray. They should always pray and not faint. My pop used to sing, just keep on praying. The Lord is nigh. Just keep on praying. He'll hear your cry. The Lord has promise, and his word is true. Just keep on praying. He'll answer you. 1 John 5:14 tells us now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. So never stop praying. Never stop praying. I don't care how bleak it looks, never stop praying. Never stop praying. Even if you get tired, never stop praying. Never stop praying, regardless of the situation or the circumstances. Trust God, who can see yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and pray without ceasing. Tell the Lord anything and everything. He can handle your mess. Tell him anything. Ask him about anything and everything. Take it all to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, the word of God promised us, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. Never stop praying. My brothers and my sisters, don't turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Serve the Lord with every fiber of your being. Amen. Do not turn aside, for then you will go to empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. Amen. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Amen. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I know, I'm preaching to the choir, literally. That I'm preaching to the choir. But you know, choir members have to practice the songs over and over again. Amen. So when we get up to sing, we sing them in tune for the most part. We have to know, we have to hear over and over again the truth of God's word. And as I said to you earlier this week, God said to me, know my word. Mm-hmm. Read my word. Mm-hmm. Know my word. From Genesis to Revelation, God wants us to know his word. Mm-hmm. And hold on to his truth so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship him. We cannot be his servants. We cannot be his bond servants. We cannot be his slaves if we don't know who he is.
Amen.
Hold on. Hold on. To the Lord. Because as our world continues to evolve, mm-hmm. California, the legislators, California legislators came up with this resolution to tell pastors, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact words, to tell pastors to embrace the beliefs of the LGBTQ community. Regardless of their Christian beliefs. My brothers and my sisters, it's only just begun. We have to serve God from the depths of our hearts. And if we don't, when trials come, we will fall. We will fall for the lies. We will fall for the compromises. Mm-hmm. We will fall for everything that is contrary to His will. Mm-hmm. And that is not a place where we want to be. Amen.
Amen.
The doors of the church are open. I believe that everyone here knows Jesus. Or know about Jesus. But just because that's what I believe doesn't mean that that's the way it is. And so the doors of the church are open. And if you're here today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we offer you grace. We offer you Jesus. Invite you to know Him, to come to know Him, to give yourself away to Him, to have a relationship with Him, a personal relationship that no one can take away from you. Jesus said, "Whom the Father gives me, no one can take from my hand." So we offer you Christ today. Trust and obey. Offer your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto Him. We offer you Jesus. If you're here today and you desire prayer, Brother Jonathan, Minister Kenneth are before you. I'm here. We'll be glad to pray with you. Pray for you. But always, if you know the Lord yourself and you desire to just have this time to talk with Him, take the time and talk with Him. Because as His child, your Father will hear your prayer. Thank you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, God. We know that it's a word sometimes that people don't want to hear. Even those who call themselves by your name, God. They want to know you as a Santa Claus. One who will give them any and everything that they ask for. They want to know you as a banker. So they can come to you, God, and get whatever financial resources you have. They want to know you as a materialist, O Lord, who will give them diamonds and houses and cars. They want to know you, God, as he who runs the elevator that will take you to the next level in this world. They want to know you as anything but who you are, the true and the living God, Father God, Creator God, Savior God, Holy Spirit. Yeah.